We do not have room. Wait, we do.
Cookies? No.
The way that you're spending your time right now is just so worthless.
Cookies? No. Dude, we have no time.
Cookie.
It's January 16th, 2021, and Pills here. I'm Six Detmar.
What the fuck? And I'm Nick Cease, and this is Bottle Crow Reborn.
No, it's not.
And this is Jack's Snacks, a variety show where we talk about some random bullshit on a podcast. And what we do is I record my audio. Six, you record your audio, I'm pretty sure. I haven't checked recently. Using a microphone, some sort of USB audio interface. We record that separately. Usually you're the one who edits. So usually we use Google Drive and I upload my MP3 or Wave. I've been doing Waves recently, so it takes a lot longer. And then
but
I right click,
you know?
And I do a share, and then I put in your email address, and then you get notified, and you have access to the file. And then you usually pull down that file, you download that file from Google Drive, as I said. And I believe you use Audacity to edit the two audio files. So first you sync them up, and then you go through and you edit. You do some noise removal.
Right.
You edit out random glitches in my audio interface. Sometimes you have to add bumpers if I didn't want to hear the bumper at that certain time. And so
or if we
play.
Invented a new bumper, which we do almost every episode.
Almost every episode, absolutely. After that, you hit the... Okay, let me see. It's a file, export audio, or control shift plus E. You select whatever settings it is you do for the final export, I assume. You then upload it somewhere, I assume, and give it a title, give it a description, and then you release it. And then other people on the internet, they get notified through some sort of RSS thing.
Well, we can't confirm that last part.
That's true. We keep hoping one day that won't be true. Yeah, and then they download it to their device, or maybe they stream it. Depends. They could be doing it on the iPhone platform, Android, Windows, Macintosh, Linux, Zune. Am I thinking of Zine? Zune is the Microsoft one, right?
Right. It's the old MP3 player that was intended as a competitor to the iPod.
That's right. And it how's that going for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the iPod's dead, isn't it? So
that's true. Yeah, no more iPod. iPad, do not touch. No, you can probably buy an iPod. Hold on. iPod.
Yeah, I guess you probably can. They're just phones that don't call people. But you
touch.
Know.
Starting at $200 for an iPod.
Wow.
That's
Nick. We have so much to talk about.
We do.
This is the first ever episode of Jack Snacks, and that means we have some snacks to talk about. I have in front of me four beverages two snacks. One of the beverages was water, because I need a palate cleanser. But we're going to start off with something I've been pursuing for a while now. This is Mountain Dew Major Melon.
Yeah. You sent me a picture of the can.
Of the Major,
the
yeah.
Yeah, the Major. The Boston Major.
Well, I mean, it is a watermelon with like an evil Chester smile, a Cheshire, I mean, and then like a military helmet, and then dog tags that say Major Melon on them.
That's right. Wow, he's really high up there on the ranks.
Yeah, Major is quite a high rank.
And he's not a minor or anything, right?
Right, and also like he seems like he's really in the shit, you know? Usually you get to that rank of commissioned officer and you're pushing, you know, figures around a metaphorical, you know, map with a battlefield, but this guy's really in the shit.
Yeah.
We're going to get a lot of this audio in this episode of that.
It's one of those, huh? Perfect.
Because I have two more cans for us to check out of other things. But yeah, we're starting off with Mountain Dew Major Melon. Of course, I have already tried some of this.
Of course.
So, Nicholas, mm-hmm. have you had a watermelon soda before?
I don't think, like, maybe I've had a watermelon, like, seltzer thing. That would be
not like a not like a crush watermelon.
No, that sounds good.
Okay, well, it's actually crush watermelon actually isn't.
Oh.
It's good for a sip. It's not good for a drink because the problem is it's just like drinking carbonated Jolly Ranchers, right?
Oh no,
it's just too much. It's too much. It's a very one note flavor that is very sweet, very artificially cloying, and it's a little huh. Mm. Now. If you are a newbie at this, if you are a scrub and you're like, you're tasting Mountain Dew Major Melon, you say, oh, I see. They have mixed watermelon soda with Mountain Dew, right? That's your initial impression if you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. If you taste some Mountain Dew on your own and compare it to Major Melon, you will detect that, wait, they have done more work than you think. They have worked harder at this. What they have done is they've managed to shave down the Mountain Dew's flavor profile to sort of those core soft tenets of a caffeinated, like, citrusy zing. But none of the other layers, just the very core of the Mountain Dew flavor, and they layered watermelon on top of that. And so what you have here is a beverage that is more substantive than a normal watermelon soda, that has superior drinkability, I would say, and is generally a very enjoyable drink of the summer. Now, it is January.
Uh-huh.
Which is a choice.
Didn't but you this say is a it good was soda. Like 90 in your area the other day?
Yeah, but it's still January, so it you know, it's still winter, right?
Right, I guess. I'll allow it.
But yeah, no, that core of watermelon mixed with that Mountain Dew essence, not true water, Mountain Dew, but Mountain Dew essence, creates a very satisfying experience. And I'm happy to say that this major is not getting dishonorably discharged.
So you really are sending your resume into a giant bomb soon. I'm glad you've had some time to sit with and stew in your Major Melon. It sounds it sounds pretty good. I could nice. Understand what you mean about, you know, take the Mountain Dew and distill its core, right? I could mm-hmm. picture that. But yeah, I was thinking it would be weaker because I've never had the crushed watermelon, that which sounds absolutely awful because I don't even like Jolly Ranchers on their own. In a soda, that yeah, it's not doing it for me. But maybe I'll have to hunt around. You never know. That technology sometimes filters its way, you know, across the Rockies. So we'll have to see. And of course, the color. What's the color?
Oh, it is absolutely pink.
Oh, perfect.
It's a very sharp pink. It looks like it is supposed to be like a rosé champagne.
And it's not like it's the color you expect, right? Is what it sounds like.
Yes, absolutely, okay. Absolutely.
And these energy drinks, whatever, hit us with the random like brown or the random neon blue or something.
Nick, did you say energy drinks?
I did.
I have here two cans of Monster Juice. I have a Pacific
Punch.
They
did the juice. They did the Monster Juice.
Pipeline Punch.
It was a midnight juice. They did the juice. It was a Monster Juice.
Notable. So one thing I'm noticing here on the front, they have, it says Juice Monster Energy Juice, which is weird that you would phrase it that way. And on the Pacific Punch, in between energy and juice, there's like a anchor icon. And on the Pipeline Punch, there's a dude throwing up the hang loose finger, you know, like the thumb and the pinky out. And I feel like this is an indicator of what I'm in for, right?
I have not seen. I looked in, you know, my local supermarket's energy drink section the other day, and I didn't see anything that inspired me. Certainly, I did not see a Monster Juice. Like, what are the typefaces going for? Is this supposed to? Is this isn't a zero calorie, right? This is a super calorie.
Oh no! I looked and made sure I passed up any zero yes. zero calorie offerings.
Okay.
I mean, it is so far that Pacific Punch has a mermaid on it that she's not wearing a whole lot of clothing, Nicholas.
It's so Starbucks.
What?
Starbucks. It's like the lady with, you know, the
with
hair.
Her titty out? What?
Fucking
what are you
move
talking
on.
About?
Look at the Starbucks logo. Surely
it's
they
a
have
person.
To do
the yes, you're
thing.
Right. They're both oh, people. My. What are you fucking talking you about? Fucking piece of
you know what? I was walking in the love late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from the slab began to rise, and suddenly. To my surprise, he did the math.
The juice.
It was the monster.
Did the monster juice.
It was a graveyard juice.
It all right, enough of this, Nicholas.
Juice.
Stop it. Stop.
He did the monster juice. From my laboratory in the castle east to my master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electro juice. They did the juice. It was a monster juice.
All right, I guess I'm just going to open this. I'm going to start with Pipeline Punch.
They did the juice. It caught under the flag. They did the juice. They did the monster juice.
This is a very deep one. So this has the monster, of course, has a different
juice?
Tab than your normal. Yes, has a different tab than your normal soda. It has, like, the second gap. You know how it's like two hollow areas on a tab, right? The second one, the upper one, is filled in and has the little monster claw M on it.
You know, some manufacturer must have figured that out. Because I feel like I've had one of those. I feel like it's a new thing where it's like, oh, you can pay 1 cent, not a cent. You can pay a tiny bit more and we'll give you this like custom stamped little tab thing. And so everyone's going to be trying that out.
Oh, goodness.
Oh.
Okay, so I took a whiff.
Yeah.
This has guava in it. I promise you this has guava in it. This smells like yep.
There it is.
It says on the side, guava puree. Because this smells like guava. Alright, let's take a little sip. Get another wow, that really is really strong guava smell. What the fuck? What the
Are you How hanging loose?
What a strange thing. Yeah, I mean, this tastes, you know. Have you ever had those, what is that brand? There's a brand that just sells, like, cans of just, like, various, like, fruit juices.
Fruit juice? In a can?
I mean, they're just, like, containers in the store. They're always, like, dark blue.
Have no idea what you're talking about.
Juice can. Is it Jumex that I'm thinking of?
Foco. Guava nectar. I've seen those. I guess
whatever.
I've seen that.
It doesn't. Yeah. Anyway, they sell a bunch of different ones. This tastes so much like guava juice, with. Like a layer of energy drink underneath it, despite the fact that it is 16% juice.
Damn.
There's not that, like, there's a lot of not juice in here, but like this.
But for a drink, that's a high percentage of juice. Isn't it like,
yeah, this doesn't taste like an energy drink.
In a good How way, it sounds like.
I mean, I'm impressed. I'm not a guava fan. But. It is an impressive achievement here. I can feel myself hanging loose as the nectar spreads through my body.
Six, look at your right hand.
The curling up into a little hang loose. Shook his fist and said,
"For the
whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
Pipeline punch.
They did the monster truce.
All right, well.
And now he's hanging loose.
Wash clean with a little bit of water.
He had the monster juice. And now he's monster.
We'll dive into some Pacific Punch with the pin-up mermaid on the cover.
Yeah.
This one's 10% juice, so.
But what juice? Who knows?
What? Okay, that just smells like a test tube. What? like a test tube and like sweet tarts? Let me taste this thing.
Ooh.
I'll be damned. This is just like Hawaiian punch. When we weren't looking, did like energy drink tech just like get out of control?
Hold on. Okay. Give me some stats. So this is like a normal soda can size or the larger?
No, this is a 16 ouncer. These are both 16 ouncers.
Okay. Give me some of the nutritional facts.
Okay. How much vitamin, what percent of vitamin B12 do you think is in here? I'm going to compare, make sure I've got it for
50?
Nick, are you kidding? 50? Okay, the stats on these are nearly identical. So like it's different in like sugars and sodium.
I wasn't kidding. What about 150?
What about 490%?
Okay.
What about 250% of your niacin, 260 of riboflavin, aka B12? What about 230 of B6?
What sugar content?
It varies. So the by the way, the serving size is the full 16 ounces.
Okay. Good.
So the Pacific Punch is rocking 51 grams of sugar, though it notes that 4 of those are from the fruits it includes. So it's only 47 added sugars. Meanwhile, the Pipeline Punch is at a cool 46 grams of sugar, and 8 of those are from natural sources. Only 38 grams of added sugar.
Okay.
Which honestly is about the same as a soda.
That's
maybe
less
a
than
lower.
A soda.
Yeah, you're right.
Like
it is less than a soda.
A bottle of soda is like 70-ish grams.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I just wanted to check that the technology wasn't just doubling the sugar.
No. This is honestly, if I just hadn't eaten a bunch of sushi, I would be drinking this Pacific Punch. This is all right.
Monster
and
juice.
I could imagine people who would drink Pipeline Punch, but I don't like guava, so not me.
Mm-hmm. Were there other flavors in the store, or is it a new thing? Just these two.
I think there were some other monster juices. I didn't. I figured two was enough to start with, and I feel good about this spread that we've got here. This smorgasbord of juices. But, Nick, this is making me feel a little peckish. That's not true. I really don't feel peckish at all. But I have to pivot.
It's okay. That's what happens when you have to my surprise, you have the juice. You drank the monster juice. And now you're the pinup mermaid. He did the monster juice.
So I'm going to start with the less exciting of these two, the one you don't know about, though.
Oh.
When I was at the store, my work, where I work, yesterday, I picked up some Oreo chocolate hazelnut.
Chocolate hazelnut, okay.
Basically, I'm thinking it's going to be like Oreo Nutella, right?
Yeah.
You got to figure.
I'm usually a big hazelnut fan.
Smell is not that strong on these, I will note. You smell the Oreo. You don't really smell the hazelnut. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's Nutella-esque. It's clearly going for Nutella. You can eat these. They're fine.
So it's chocolate cream, chocolate cookie, but a little bit of hazelnut in there.
You get the hazelnut. It's not that. It's not very strong. I think It's like they mixed Nutella with the cream, and so naturally the Nutella flavor is diluted, but it is definitely there.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, it's easy to overdo hazelnut. It's more for, absolutely, like, a smell, mostly.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I get that. Well,
would you buy it
speaking
again?
Speaking of overdoing, honestly, probably not.
Yeah, I guess there's so many other Oreo avenues to explore.
Including the limited edition Brookie O Oreo. It says here,
so it's a
brownie, original cream, and cookie dough, artificially
what?
Flavored, triple layered cream.
Oh, God.
If you were to Google Brookie O Oreo, it's like Brook IE O Oreo, you'll see what this package looks like. You'll see, you know, their artist rendition of a Brookie O. And it's intense.
Oh, no. It literally is.
Layers of cream.
One is cookie dough, one is vanilla, one's a brownie. Oh. No.
Okay, so here's an interesting thing, right?
Yeah.
You always do the odor test, right? You pop it open and you smell. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of particles in the air, but my nose is just kind of overwhelmed and shutting down.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I can smell anything, but I can tell there's a lot here. Wow. All right, well, let's pick up a Brookie-O. That's a thick motherfucker. All right, let's just... I'll be honest, that's pretty good. Again, my tongue is just kind of overwhelmed. I can't taste the individual aspects, but I am enjoying it. I get a little bit of the cookie dough.
Yeah.
I get some of the Oreo cream. I get the Oreo itself. The brownie bit is kind of blending in a little bit. It's a little stealth here. But, no, it's good.
But, okay, so, like, you've had one, right? Have you finished it?
I've had, like, two-thirds of one.
Okay, I was going to say, how many of these could you actually eat if you had not just eaten dinner?
If I had not just eaten dinner, I could probably eat four of these before I wanted to throw up.
Okay. That's about what I expected.
It's so sweet. It's so sweet, Nicholas.
Like, I don't know. I was never a big Oreo cream person. Like, I would never just eat the cream when I did have Oreos. I like the cookie. It's good. It's probably a boring...
I agree.
Old man take, but, you know.
Listen, it's not this nice, but basically, you know what the cream is? Is it sugar and shortening.
Yeah.
Basically. It's not that special, so it needs that measured aspect of the cookie, and this is just so much cream that it's just... Again, like, enjoying it, but I think I'm going to be eating, like, one at a time, and that's going to feel like, it's going to feel excessive to eat one.
Like, I'm looking, now that you have me looking at the Brookie-O Oreo box cover, like, look at the Oreo cookie itself. Look at that shape. Look, how much, like, technology and manufacturing effort must go into getting a cookie that looks like that? Like, it looks like it's a die-cast part, right? Looks like it's a slab of metal that they slammed a mold onto and got all these intricate parts. Look at, like, the outside has, it's knurled. It's a knurled cookie. And then it's got the Oreo, and then it's got all these, like, geometric shapes in the middle. There's got to be a big story behind this. But look at that cookie. That cookie is something. The cream.
The Oreo is the absolute uncontested king of mass-produced cookies.
Absolutely. I mean, if they can afford to do things like, what'd you have last time that was awful? Not the birthday cake. Was the birthday cake? Or no, Emily said the birthday cake was bad. It was just butter flavor. No, birthday cake bang. That's what it was.
Yes, so yes.
They do all these, you know, they've got an entire R&D team dedicated to these limited editions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That cookie, like, I feel like the role, I haven't had an Oreo in a while. I'll have to get some Oreos for next show. I feel like the role of the cream is doing its best when it's like a lubrication for the two cookies.
Hmm. I mean, so I do think, my opinion, the best Oreo variant is the red velvet cake Oreo.
I've had those. I do agree. I don't know what it is.
Because that cream cheese icing.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I want...
Well, here's the real secret is when, like, all of these are, of course, limited edition, right?
Yeah.
But usually they don't say that. When you print limited edition on a package, it's because you don't think people will buy it otherwise.
What? There's got to be a strategy there, right? Because, like, people, brands introduce and remove flavors all the fucking time. Why announce that? I guess it's because they know it's not very good, but they want to get, like, sure, they've done enough of these. They must know. If they say limited edition, there'll be, like, a spike in people buying that product.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, maybe it's better to have those spikes rather than just market your other product harder, I guess.
I think
it's all
so.
Part of the Oreo cinematic universe or whatever, right?
Snack. I mean, it's also a case where they did, like, cookie dough Oreos and they did brownie batter Oreos. And I think the Brookio is partially just their way of using up leftover materials.
They had two silos worth of each of the creams. Yeah. God, a triple stuffed, like even double stuffed Oreos, I'm not a big fan of. But triples, just, no. It's a bridge too far. Like, if they did need to get rid of that, you don't have to have the original cream in there. Like a Brookie or whatever, the cookie brownie thing. You don't have a layer of shortening in between.
No, but it is supposed to be Oreo themed. It is the Brookio, which is a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
Is Oreo.
The Brookie, yeah. So I guess they
did
it
all for
there.
The Brookie.
Interesting.
That's a fair reaction to the joke I just made.
I'm mesmerized by this cookie. I'm closing my brand eating tab. Brandeating.com.
Oh, you opened Brand Eating?
I did, just to see if they had any hot takes on the Brookie. Oh,
you didn't look at any news articles, did you?
I would never.
that's good, because Nick.
Yep.
It's time to take it to Taco Chingling.
Jesus Christ, let me scroll.
Chingling, 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 chingling.
Okay.
The president of Taco Bell
has released
a video.
Okay.
You know those old cartoons where they do like the mouth over the cartoon, like the real person's mouth moving?
Yeah. Oh, no.
He did that with a potato.
No.
Because he's announcing that potatoes are coming back to Taco Bell starting March 11th.
You got to send me this video. Wow. So they're back. Hold on. What does this mean for the WWE Taco Bell?
Well, it means that, I mean, you know, it's finally potatoes coming back.
The cheesy fiesta potatoes?
Here, you know what? We'll play the whole thing.
Okay.
You watch this and I'll somehow get this audio and play it through our podcast and make my own life hell.
Starting now.
Wait. No. Oh. Pause it.
Okay, pausing.
Three, two, one.
Mark. Oh my.
Hi everyone, I'm Mark
God.
King, CEO of Taco Bell. And we have some big news today. As you might have guessed, it has to do with potatoes. But let's start from the beginning. Last year, we had to shift entirely to drive-thru, which created longer lines for our customers and way more demand on our team members. So in
have
order
you ever
to create
a
better experience
potato?
For both you and our
oh
teams,
God.
We had to simplify
no.
our menu. And unfortunately, removing potatoes was part of that. But it's a new year with new possibilities. And you know what? We're bringing them back. That's right. As of March 11th, potatoes are officially back at Taco Bell. Give us a minute to get them back to most restaurants, but know that we're working hard to make things right. And since you're still watching this potato speak, I'll let you in on a little secret. This year, we're going big on our vegetarian menu. We're going above and beyond.
You just
anyways, that's all I got.
No.
Later, taters.
No. What the fuck?
Interestingly, this tweet was replied to with another tweet from Taco Bell reposting the video with subtitles because people were like, I can't understand what this man is saying.
I'm broken.
Are you excited?
I guess they just said potatoes are back, so I assume that's everything. So finally, we get the reveal, though, of why they removed it. It wasn't like a supply chain thing, or at least they're not going to tell us it was. They say so it was, you know, to more quickly handle drive-thru orders.
They say that the items they're bringing back, they're bringing back the cheesy fiesta potatoes and the spicy potato soft taco, as well as the ability to customize items to swap in or out potatoes.
That's what we were worried about, right?
And also a little tease at the end there. They noted that they'll be adding Beyond Meat options. That was the wick.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I thought it was, of course, the potato wink.
That's also a new item, the potato wink.
Potato wink. It's a secret menu item. Guess who found the bumper?
I didn't know I gave it to you.
Secret menu.
You didn't, but 7 months ago, you sent it to me in Discord to ask how it was.
You're a nightmare. What is wrong with you?
Boy, is there a lot. Do you, well, speaking of what's wrong with me. Nope. This is
great content.
This is. No. No, this is bad too. Okay, my Spotify is really messed up. Never mind. I have nothing for you.
Okay, great. Love this.
Yep. I love this. Oh, thank you. That reminded me of another thing we have to do. Okay. Nothing over here.
We're not done. By the way, we are in gold for meat, of course.
Gold for
meat.
This is a journey into money. Loads of money.
And we're not done with gold for meat because our old friends are back with an announcement.
They are.
Nick, you are disappointed by Subway. We're all disappointed by Subway.
It's true.
They haven't been innovating lately.
No, or ever, it feels like, in my lifetime.
But Subway is ready to step up and punch you in the face with a new idea that's never been considered before.
Oh boy, I'm ready. Strapped in.
Hey guys.
Oh, no.
I know you don't like you're not big on sandwiches these days. I got a new item for you. It's called a protein bowl. We're just gonna take some ham and put it on some lettuce.
No.
I call it Hedis. But they say I can't say that. They say I have to call it a protein bowl.
Oh, God. No.
Yes, the new Subway protein bowls are lettuce with just meat piled on top.
So just like a really bad Chipotle. Like, oh, God. Like there's a Subway close to where I work. Sometimes, I go there occasionally and it's whatever. Like, but the one thing about Subway is that their bread is pretty, almost always pretty decent, right? You've sent me a picture and it's... No!
It's just a bowl of
it's
meat on top of lettuce.
It's bad American Chipotle. No! Oh, God. No! I mean, fucking live your dream, you know? Follow your dreams.
Live months.
They must be really desperate at Subway for something if they're doing this. Because the one fucking thing about Subway is we bake our own bread. Yeah, they do. It's good bread, right?
And the EU said Subway we bread? Can't call it bread anymore. You know that one, right?
I remember you did that on the podcast, I think. You let me know.
Yeah, it's got too
what
much
was
sugar
it?
In it.
Too much sugar? Yeah.
Yeah, it can't legally be called bread in the EU.
Yeah. The Subway at close to my work has a neon sign that says we bake our own bread. That's why I was thinking about the bread. Oh, God. No, I would just go to the Chipotle every time. Because usually I don't get like a burrito chipotle. I get like the bowl version of whatever. Oh, God. Just so the picture you sent me is someone who is their marketing image of lettuce, clearly, salami, ham, and pepperoni.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, like, there's no vegetables showing.
That appears to be an Italian BLT or BMT. BMT is what that's called. I just know that from Subway experience, because there was a period in my life, yes, where I worked at a Subway.
But there's no veggies. There's no sauce. There's no...
I mean, there might be underneath. There's no joy. You can't see. There I'm sure if no you went in and said, in I'm sure if you went in and said, can you put mayonnaise on this? They would do it.
this makes me so sad. It's no, no. Well, just Nick, get the flatbread if you're doing low carb. But just don't go to Subway. Don't do it.
I don't know if I can make you happy, but I can tell you when you could be made happy.
Okay, tell me when I'll be happy. And it's not March 11th when the potatoes come back.
So we've been tracking the rollout of various competitors to the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Yes. As everyone and finally, they should do it.
Finally, the original victim... KFC is stepping into the ring.
Ooh.
With the new KFC chicken sandwich with a quarter pound double breaded extra crispy chicken breast fillet.
Okay, okay.
Now, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Their, quote, best chicken sandwich ever is still rolling out. Do you want to try it?
I do.
Well, you're going to have to go to kfc.com/find the sandwich.
No, I... God damn it.
There you can enter your email and they will let you know when a store near you has the sandwich. It appears right now it's down. At least in my area. Oh, wait, there we go. I refreshed it. There we go. See if it's available. I clicked see if it's available and it says, we've been cooking, now get looking. Use the KFC chicken sandwich finder to locate the new KFC chicken sandwich. And I have one option which says, let's go. So I've clicked it and it has shown me Kentucky. I'm not in Kentucky. That's incorrect.
We're not in Kentucky anymore.
Okay, I'm giving it my zip code. And it has various, I can pick from a KFC near me and tell them to notify me. I've clicked notify me and it's asking me for my email address. I'm not giving you my email address. So.
Wow. Yeah, it still won't work for me, but I'm looking at a picture, their marketing picture here. I'm apprehensive. I think they could match Popeyes.
It's not impossible.
Because it's still the, like, they show mayonnaise and... mayonnaise on the top and bottom, or whatever sauce it is.
Yeah, and it's got a brioche bun.
Yeah, which I'm no longer about. I'm about that potato bun life, but I'll accept it. Yeah, they test ran it in Orlando last year. KFC capital of the world, apparently.
Go figure.
Yeah, I don't know. I've had the Popeyes spicy one, and it didn't make me feel great to eat. It was tasty. It was good. It didn't make me feel great to eat. We'll see.
Okay, that's valid. You know what? You're allowed to feel that way, Nick.
I mean, I love fried chicken, but something about... I don't know. Something about if you put a hand-eating fried chicken-style giant piece of breast... buttered brioche bun with mayonnaise, it doesn't quite do it for me. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, Nick, I think we should take a little detour here. Let's go to Mutumba Man's kitchen.
Everything's thrown out of whack because I had to scroll all the way down to Taco Chingling on this fucking soundboard list.
Mutumba Man. Mutumba Man.
Holds the M. Well, that's right. Now there's a second bumper.
There are times when I feel like making a bumper that I haven't done enough work. Yes. And so I keep going and I objectively make it a worse bumper. This happens.
I appreciate that.
Nick, I was thinking, we had our conversation way back when, and by way back when, I mean like, I don't know, 2-3 months ago, whatever, about the Famous Bowl and the concept of foods that are deliciously dignity-free.
Yes.
And I've realized that there's another one that I'd been overlooking. And we're going to talk about how to make it.
Okay.
Let's make some yakisoba pon.
Oh, interesting. I think I'm with your take. Yeah, go on, explain.
Yeah, yakisoba pon is basically stir-fried Japanese noodles shoved into a hot dog bun with toppings on them.
Yeah.
Like, no self-respect, but damn, it's good.
I've never had it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, if you get it right, it's like you get the pickled ginger right, which is really okay. Like pickled ginger is really good. You get like you do a sauce that's like Worcestershire and oyster sauce, and that's, you know, of course those two are great flavors. And of course you get the crispy, chewy yakisoba, and it's all on the handy holder of a hot dog bun.
I mean, yeah. So like Japan is huge in bread. For whatever reason, they love their different types of bread. They got like melon bread is another big one. I've heard of this yakisoba bread, but like, I don't know. I love noodles, and to say that to get to my noodles, I have to go through a soft, pillowy hot dog bun. Maybe it's worth it because of that convenience, as you said. You know, the convenient hand holder, right? You don't have to have one hand with chopsticks or whatever and one hand holding a carton of fried noodles. It's just, mm-hmm. You can, you know, double fist maybe two yakisoba pon.
It's a very strange irony of the yakisoba pon that it is taking yakisoba and making it a much more portable format in order to make it something you can take around with you and you would never want anyone to see you holding.
Yeah. Matt, yeah. I mean, there's no clean way to eat that, right? It seems like it would be like the Checkers chili cheese dog that I had. It's just you're going to get messy.
Right, right. I mean, classically, you wrap it in plastic wrap and you sort of roll it back as you eat it, I think, is the trick.
Okay, the condom style delicious. Mm-hmm.
Yes, totally. So the way you make this is really quite simple.
Okay.
You get some yakisoba noodles. You heat up some oil. You cook it on the pan. Worcestershire sauce, oyster sauce. You stuff it in a bun. Ginger on top. Maybe some Japanese mayo, or maybe some you know, aonori, yep. If you want to give a little hula hoo, give a little hanaha.
Little hula hoo, yep.
Now, here's Nick, are you ready for me to jokerfy this one?
No, I'm not.
You ready to make it twisted?
Yep, twist it.
Okay. You cook the yakisoba. You put it in the hot dog bun.
Yep.
You put a hot dog on top of it.
I knew it. Oh no, there's so many bad textures going on. What the fuck.
I see, it's me, Mickey Mouse. I saw that you had some noodles on bread. You want to put a little sausage, a little wiener in there? You want to put a little wiener in there?
That sounds great. Not yours, please. Ba-doom-tsh.
I just, nothing sounds better to me than having a hot dog, but also having to eat it like around pasta. That sounds like my perfect hot dog experience. You've ruined hot dogs and yakisoba for me.
Thank God.
Someone was able to. You've conquered the hot dog monster, sweeping the nation. Wow. Six, have you done it yet?
No.
Okay. Thank
no.
Thank goodness.
Actually, I mentioned it in our Discord. I had an idea the other day, right? After getting the news about the return of potatoes to Taco Bell, my brain immediately went, I mean, they've already got potatoes. They've got nacho fries. What if I were to go to Taco Bell and say, hey, can I get a cheesy gordita crunch sub potatoes? And they, of course, would say, sorry, we don't have potatoes. And I'd say, I mean, but you've got nacho fries. To sub nacho fries.
I mean, why not? Why not? It would probably be pretty good.
I'm sure it would taste good. Here's the thing is I know what it's like to try and ring stuff up on a register that's made for you to ring up predetermined things, and I'm not going to do that to them.
You'd just be like, I guess just both. Yeah, wow. You'd get charged a different price for it every time you got it, probably.
Yeah. And I mean, like, honestly, best case scenario is that they charge me for a cheesy gordita crunch and for nacho fries.
Yeah.
And then just give me less food and it's very expensive.
Yeah.
And that would be a bummer.
I mean, that sounds pretty good, though. Like, sticking some seasoned french fries in a...
In a hot dog bun with pickled ginger?
God. I mean, sure. Fuck it. Why not? Put french fry. You might as well put french fries on the hot dog bun. That would be better to me than, yeah, I don't know. I'll make it. Maybe I should make some yakisoba this week.
You know what? Let's both, for next episode, let's both make yakisoba pan and report
back. Okay.
I will make one with a hot dog in it. Just to live my own nightmare, right?
Yep. Live your best, live your worst self, as they say.
You can live your worst life. Sorry, there was an ad. That's a long story. So I worked a job.
I've never seen you so immediately apologize for bit before. Go on.
I lived a job where there was a TV
on. You lived a job?
I fucking lived it. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
It may have been Walmart. I don't totally remember. But there was a TV on all the time, and it was constantly playing ads. And one of the ads, for whatever reason, was for going on vacation in the Bahamas.
Okay.
Which, why are you advertising that at a Walmart? It may not have been Walmart, but no job I've ever had served that kind of clientele. And it was just a bunch of, like, poppy music, and then it ended with a guy going, "You could live your best life," over, like, dubstep. And I heard it so many fucking times
that it's branded into the brain now.
But here on Jack Snacks, you can live your worst life.
You're gonna have to find that ad now. You're gonna do it.
Never find it.
It never existed.
It's I'll try, but it honestly might be better if like no one can prove this isn't just a fever dream of mine.
Yep.
The Royal Caribbean.
Local man found traces of both hot dog bun, yakisoba, and hot dog just muttering, "I put that over the dumpster. I'm gonna live my worst. I'm gonna live my jail life. Wow. Oh, well, I mean, Six, you don't know this, but I do have some Jack snacks, but. You also don't know something else, you know?
So many things I don't know, Nick.
There's so many things you don't know. But one thing that soon you will know is...
Did Nick make a bumper? He's aiming at the shadows for peace of the world? Oh. Oh, it's Kamen Rider! The journey of me figuring that one out.
I wasn't gonna go that long, but you know, I just had to let it kick after that.
Yeah, I've heard it before, but I've never watched the original Kamen Rider, which is what that is the opening of. Good. That's a good opening.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Rider jump, rider kick. I don't remember why I watched it.
It's for a segment.
It is. I couldn't.
Karaoke
that's
rider.
Why I've, oh, you finally didn't have to bleep it.
Yeah, the only thing it takes to make a segment around here is to think of how you can really badly substitute a word for the name of a Dota player, and you've got yourself a segment.
That's why I couldn't possibly remember. I was like, what the fuck was going to be the name of this shit? Yes, finally, the long-awaited. It's not really for any good reason. Just, I don't watch it for a while. The Kuroki Rider, where Six told me to watch Japanese, kind of tokusatsu, the Power Rangers thing.
Yeah,
it is. Okay. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you're mixing up tokusatsu and sentai. Sentai is a sub genre within tokusatsu. This is tokusatsu, though. It is not
this
sentai, however.
Is tokusatsu? Yeah, I don't know the. I thought tokusatsu was like the Godzilla.
Sure, like that's also monster. Tokusatsu. Tokusatsu is like live action with practical effects, basically. It's more complicated than that, but like, you know, yeah.
Yeah, for the dumb dill. For the dill.
Dumb dill.
For the dumb
dim. Dumb dill.
I was trying to think of the word dim, but I got dumb and dill, so here we are. For the dumb dill pickled mind, yeah. So, I watched 3 episodes of Kamen Rider on Six's request from long ago. I got the eerie Spider-Man, the terrifying Batman, and the monstrous Scorpion Man.
Oh, so you watched the original Kamen Rider?
Yeah. Wait.
Oh, wow. I told you to watch X-Aid, but that's cool.
What? When did that one come out? Because the one I watched came out in 1971.
It was in the 2000s, if that's for sure.
Oh!
2016.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, you know, you're a real one, but, you know.
From April 3rd, 1971. Kamen Rider, based on, a manga that they adapted from a dark story called Skull Man or something.
Huh. Tell me the story.
Of
Kamen Rider? Yeah. How'd you like it? What's going on?
Okay, so I've watched 3 episodes of the original, which I thought I was supposed to do. That's okay.
This is why we communicate sometimes, Nick, but it's okay.
I mean, again, I was searching through our through our messages to figure if there was a bumper for this. I could not find it. So, the story is, from me who's only watched 3 episodes and is not going to look at the Wikipedia because it's too long, there was a guy named, Takeshi Hondo, and he is a smart guy, and he works in a biology lab in a famous Japanese university. And he also rides a motorcycle real good. Mm-hmm. And so one day while riding a motorcycle real good to practice for some sort of tournament thing, like motocross tournament, he's abducted. And then we learn he's been abducted by... why can't I remember the name? My God. Slasher? Striker?
Shocker.
Sorry, I've been confused by Air Bud. Thought Striker, I couldn't remember Shocker. Yes, evil worldwide mega organization Shocker, who they say their goal, I'm sure they've developed this over the 50 years. They say it's to make everyone into cyborgs, basically.
That's going to take a while.
In order to rule the world.
Yeah. Okay, all right, fair enough.
So that's what Shocker started out as, and we get that every time in these 3 episodes that, you know, a new baddie is introduced. They're like, oh yes, they're going to turn everyone into cyborgs in order to rule the world. That's their Shocker's mission. And so they have captured him, and they alter his body to give him powers and stuff. But right before they do something, like brainwash him, basically, he breaks free, and... then he is the Kamen Rider. So he has these superpowers, and he does super jumps and goes real fast.
The Rider jump and the Rider kick.
The Rider jump, the Rider kick. He did a Rider throw.
Wow.
There's lots of Rider things. And it seems like the format, at least in the original one here, is each episode, there's a new baddie from Shocker. So we had a spider guy. Then we had a bat guy who, like, bit people and infected them with a virus that he could use his ultrasound to control them. basically. And then I just watched The Monstrous Scorpion Man, who had control over man-eating scorpions.
That sounds rough. It sounds scary.
You know, very scary. This is my first time really watching a tokusatsu. The baddies, also, you know, still 1971, are, you know, people in skin suits with, you know, prosthetics and makeup.
Sure.
And Kamen Rider is himself, a guy in like a jumpsuit with a bug helmet. This thing is, he was a bug person.
Sure.
Yeah. There was some other plot stuff, like one of the doctors who was forced to work with Shocker betrayed them to free Takeshi. So he, and then that doctor was killed. And then there was a drama over this 3-episode arc in which, oh, that doctor's daughter thought that Takeshi was the one who killed him, when really, no, it was Shocker. And then by the end of the second episode, she figures that out. And then she's his assistant in the third one. And from now on, it seems like.
Wow.
It's deep layers here.
So what'd you think?
I mean, extremely 1970s.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? A good thing. Okay.
Yeah. Like, imagine, you know. No, it's hard. It is absolutely, you would know it when you see it, type of 1970s cinematography. And,
sure, sure.
Especially, like, I feel like we had a little bit of, it's probably not the Japanese style, but it's what I know. Like, the Japanese theatrical style of, like, extreme melodrama, very over-the-top acting, right? Mm-hmm. Lots of big faces. This definitely has that big face energy. Kind of over-the-top.
BFE.
Swooning. Yeah.
All right, that sounds good.
But, you know, it was interesting.
Yeah, the one I wanted you to watch was Kamen Rider X-Aid, though, you know, I'm happy that you know, things took a turn for the unexpected. Kamen Rider X-Aid is what if, first of all, there are multiple Kamen Riders, right?
Oh, okay.
And they moonlighted as Kamen Riders, or they're doctors.
Okay.
But some people catch the game illness, and normal medicine doesn't work on them, so you got to turn into a Kamen Rider.
The game illness?
Oh, yeah. You have a lot of people saying, game of bio.
Taihen, game of you. Wow.
Kore wa game of you desu.
So, like, is the thing that it's like Dr. House, and whenever a patient is terminal, he injects them with a game virus, and then they're Kamen Riders?
No, doctors? Well, there are. I don't want to spoil too much of the plot, but
okay, yeah,
we don't want to do that. A way to put it would be Y2K happened. Y2K caused games to start generating viruses that infect people and turn them into monsters, called the game illness.
Okay.
And therefore, some exceptional doctors had to also become Kamen Riders to fight the people who caught the game illness, turned into monsters, they beat the monsters, they cure their game illness, and they get them back into health.
Back into health.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yes, of course.
Okay, interesting.
My lines have now also been localized. Mm-hmm. Back into health.
Huh. Interesting. Well, I mean, that is pretty believable, you know. I mean, we play Dota 2. We know games are absolutely a disease.
For sure. Scourge on society. For sure. That's one of the best parts of that is, yeah, just random, like having a lawyer like lean over like on their almost their deathbed and grab a surgeon's arm and say, "Don't tell my family about my game illness." It's just funny every time.
They can't know I played Deckies.
Well, that's the thing, is the villains are all from different games, right?
Like actual so it's like, video games?
No, they make fictional games, but it's clear what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
So like it's their own fictional version, but basically you're like, "Oh no, he's been infested by the Bowser virus," right? It's basically like that.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. It's wow.
Well, I mean, it's such a monumental occasion that I watched the wrong show and revealed the secret, segment. That's what you call it. My dill dumb brain is fading. I'm dissolving. Fun facts: the actor who plays Takeshi Hondo in the original Kamen Rider, Fujioka Hiroshi, is in the Daughter of Lupin movies. I know you like Lupin.
Yeah, right? Lupin's great.
It's a famous anime thing. And then Akimasa Nakamura named two minor planets in honor of the series. 12408 Fujioka for the actor and 12796 Kamen Rider for the series. So Kamen Rider is part of our solar system.
Yeah. Hiroshi Fujioka, truly pretty badass.
Yeah.
He, fun fact, at first he is doing all his own stunts in that show.
Really?
And then he shattered his leg doing a motorcycle stunt. And then they were like...
I was just thinking that. Like, the style they have is very, you know, have someone do stunts and then go record somewhere completely separate, like in a studio.
I mean, like, it is the case that they are in a a full body suit with a mask on. There's no reason not to use a stuntman at that point.
Right. Yeah. Like, they have him trying to just, like, do 180s constantly, and so he was zipping around as the bug man and then did a 180 on his motorcycle by, you know, what you do, you drag your foot, you, like, plant your foot, and I was like, damn, he's just gonna, like, jack himself up on this leg and destroy it. Good to know what happens.
Yeah, he absolutely does that. You'll come to a point in the show where they suddenly introduce a second writer who becomes the main character. It's because he's in the hospital.
Wow.
Yeah, he was also, by the way, are you familiar with Segita Sanshiro?
Don't think so.
Okay, so when the Sega Saturn home console came out, they did a campaign with a mascot character named Segita Sanshiro, because it's like Sega Satan Oshiro. You will play the Sega Saturn. And Segita Sanshiro is this fictional legendary judo fighter who is like incredibly strong and wants everyone to play Sega Saturn, and if you refuse, he'll beat the fuck out of you. Like, this is like a 90s campaign where he would like show up out of nowhere, like throw a car into the sun and say play Sega Saturn, and this like 17-year-old be like, I don't have any money, and then he'd beat the shit out of the 17-year-old. They were weird ads.
I love big weird Japanese ads are where I'm at. I had a hopefully it was a year. Hopefully it wasn't 2 years ago. My brother got me the Long Long Man candy. Nagai Sakeru Gummy. And there was a few at the house, so I had one the other day. Still good. Still very good candy.
I'm glad. You know, I've always wondered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it had the grape flavor.
Mm, of course.
And it is Nagai. Very long.
Wow. Wow. Well, Nick, I think we should stop talking.
Before I forget, because I will forget by next week, I have Jack Snacks. I was going to do Jack Snacks. They're my Jack Snacks. You can't have them.
Drink some Pacific Punch.
We do not room. We do not room.
Because I feel very passionate about one of my Jack snack. So I've had two different new types of M&Ms. You know, M&Ms are also kind of, they're not afraid to go out there with some of their flavors, right? I think they've done a birthday cake or a birthday confetti, whatever, before.
Sure.
I don't think I've ever had it. But the two ones I have tried recently are white chocolate peanut M&Ms.
Okay.
And caramel M&Ms.
The caramel M&Ms are disappointing.
Really? Let's go to that first. Really?
Yes.
What didn't you like?
I feel like just the quality of the caramel, it almost tasted metallic, right? It was just very underwhelming caramel to me.
Really?
Yeah.
I really liked the caramel M&Ms. They were really like it was a little piece of caramel that like had the M&M shell on it with a little bit of chocolate in there. I loved the chew. I was like, oh, it was excellent. It wasn't like weird marshmallowy chewy like taffy, for instance. It was like a good solid caramel, you know?
All right, great.
Six is pouting.
Listen, I also tried M&M fudge brownie. Those were complete shit, so comparatively.
I thought about those were on the shelf, and I was like, surely you can't, like, the way you improve an M&M is not by making it more dense and chocolatey.
That's exactly the problem.
It's like you could have a few of them and then you're done, but it's like, it's not the point. It's not the point of an M&M.
Yeah, no, but they achieved their goal, and it was a bad goal, it turns out. So.
It was a bad goal. It was an own goal.
White chocolate peanut butter, though.
White chocolate peanut M&Ms.
Oh, it's peanut, not peanut butter, excuse me.
Yeah. Bad.
Bad?
Very bad.
Really?
Bad.
Huh.
Why? Oh. Who thought that white chocolate, which is basically like sugar and butter, would go well with peanuts? What the fuck?
Huh.
Like, if you're going to do that, you've got to do a macadamia nut, which is, like, way different than a peanut in taste and texture.
That's a fair point.
You don't make white chocolate peanut cookies. It was just wrong.
I mean, I've had white chocolate peanut butter brittle before. That was good.
Okay, I could see that. Like, you go all the way there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, I had one, and I knew it was bad.
Wow.
My opinion did not change from my first to my last M&M. I was like, you know, this is kind of risky because I'm a big peanut M&M's person. But I'm like, for the show, I'll get a pack of white chocolate peanut M&M's. I like white chocolate sometimes, but no, don't buy. Remove.
Wow. Harsh. Stinging criticism.
But I guess the listeners, or listener probably at this point, will have to be their own judge on caramel.
On Saturday for KPPL News, this is... Nick the Dick Cease.
That's
with my geese.
That's what they call me. With my geese.
Saying my piece.
Saying my... more merch ideas. Perfect. You'll get credit. I will send you an egg for every shirt we sell. This is Nick the Dick Cease here with my geese saying my piece.
All right. You heard him, folks. Get to it.
Get to it.
And we have our first caller.
We should have callers on the show, you know?
I mean, one day when people care.
One day. No, but like legitimately we should have a bot that joins. That's like, I'm sure they have a Google Voice bot, and so we like publicly post a Google Voice number and tell people when we're recording.
I mean, the other thing is we could set up what we probably honestly should do. We could set up a Google Voice phone number with a voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
You leave a message, and we play it, and we pretend that you've just called in. And we're responding. We're like, tell me more about that.
No, that is a good idea. I think the phone call and the voicemail is going to have a comeback.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As you know, we've evolved to yet another level of existing on the internet, especially in like work capacities with the vast increase of people working remotely. I feel like it's time for a phone renaissance.
Oh man, I just saw a yakisoba pan with like carrots and like pickled jalapenos on it. That seems good.
That seems much better than just base noodles on bread.
Well, it has the pickled ginger, Nicholas.
I know it's got the pickled ginger, but it's still... I love noodles. I love noodles.
Okay, well, I guess we're done here, folks. I guess that's it.
Lida.
Jump!
Lida.
Kick!
You know, I was just thinking about the fact that we can never put this podcast on YouTube. We would just get, like, sued into oblivion.
It is amazing. I don't know, like one of the podcasts I listen to plays for their theme song now, the opening part of Paul McCartney's newest album. And I'm like, why are DMCA rules just so much more different for podcasts? It's crazy.
Nick, I found a yakisoba pan recipe that includes hot dog.
God damn. Is there a picture?
Let me scroll down, down, down. Do you want like the finished product? Because they look really cute.
Cute?
Uh-huh.
How could... This is in the same category as Famous Bowl.
Look at this cute guy.
That's like...
Look at this partner.
Where's the hot dog?
In there. They slice it up.
Okay, this is like a yakisoba slider.
Yeah. Okay. Here, let me get you a. Let me get you. They have multiple possibilities
multiple
here.
Four factors.
Here you go.
Okay. Okay. This is more reasonable. It seems like this is. Yeah, this is like a happy medium. Like it's got the nice brioche hot dog bun, and it seems like a correct amount of hot dog and noodles. It's like the noodles are a coleslaw to the hot dog.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Almost.
Nick, where can people find you on the internet?
If you find out, let me know.
Okay. If you're looking for the show, you should find us at BottleCrow on Twitter. I think we probably... Don't we have an email? Isn't it like BottleCrowReborn@gmail.com?
It's exactly that.
Let me click on that. I bet we don't have anything. I haven't checked that in ages. Oh, my God.
Greg has sent us 50 emails.
No, we don't have any good emails. It's just a bunch of garbage, of course.
I mean, we don't have any good podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Netflix really wants me to sign up. They've really pushed hard for Netflix.
Why? How did Netflix get our email?
Well, let's not talk about that.
Let's wait not talk a
about
second.
Who is.
Someone out there is. Okay.
Well.
Wait! Six? I know it's been so long of a podcast, but... Typing sounds. Spelling. Six, we almost forgot. Oh, no.
I'm just sitting here. I was leading back.
Where is it? God, I need to do something about my life, you know? I don't think you ever sent me the fan fiction corner bumper, but you just played it. The New World of Traxxix, Chapter 1, The Encounter. Traxxix regained her form and readied her bow to show her marksmanship to Lyrele. She breathed slowly
as she prepared
her arrow to pierce... There was a prelude.
Oh.
To pierce the alpha wolf's skull. Just as she's about to release, a bear appeared out of nowhere and killed the three wolves. Traxxix, still not accustomed to this new world, shot her arrow into a tree next to the bloodied bear. Ursa, Traxxix was gonna kill that, Lyrele shouted at the bear with blood-stained claws. His reply was just a growl as he proceeded to leave in the blink of an eye.
What the hell was that, Lyrele?
Traxxix questioned in a curious panic.
Who was that guy and why does he look like a bear?
Lyrele just ignored her question and dragged Traxxix off to another area in order to prove her marksmanship. Once again, the energetic ginger was bouncing around while waiting for her new friend to catch her breath. Yet again, Traxxix followed the same process of readying her bow and arrow to prove her capabilities. Right when she launched her arrow, it stopped a few feet before the centaur. The arrow seemed to levitate right in front of her target.
Lyrele, what's going on?
Traxxix asked as she backed away. Both girls began to panic as Klinx revealed himself to the girls.
Run now, Traxxix!
Lyrele replied as her voice wavered. She ran off and left Traxxix with the unknown archer. Traxxix, Looking to her side, noticed that her new friend was no longer by her side. She decided to start running, while the bone flesher readied and aimed an arrow at the young girl. He managed to land the arrow directly into her left calf. Lirale, nowhere to be seen, heard a scream, and finally mustered up the courage to return to her friend. When she noticed Traxix is such a fucking hard name to say, limping towards her. It breaks my mouth. Lirale decided to throw shackles at her assailant. The skeletal archer ended up getting stuck to a tree as Lirale helped her friend back to where she first met her.
I'm so sorry. I just didn't want to get into a fight and I ran.
Lirale unloaded onto her friend, beginning to cry.
I didn't think he was roaming on our side of the river, let alone hunting for down our team. Why am I Mickey Mouse?
It's all right. I'll live, Lirale, Traxix stated, trying to ease her friend's worry. She gave a small smile to comfort her friend. I just have to rest up for a bit. I'll be okay tomorrow. Lirale stopped crying when she saw her friend smile. She gave Traxix a hand to get her back to the fountain and rest. When they arrived at the fountain, both of the girls leaned against the wall of the shop as they recovered their strength. Throughout the time they spent, they noticed various people come and go. We'll see you next time for Chapter 2, New Faces.
I hope you enjoyed the dramatic music that was playing under that reading.
I did. I'm sure I did.
All right. Well.
What an encounter.
Yeah. Watched various people. All right. Peace out.
Sure.